What's good and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, September 13th. I'm Andrea Renee, joined by the Reverend Jared Petty.
I am Groot.
Welcome back to the show, Jared.
I'm glad to be back at the show. It's been a while since we've hosted together. I'm excited about it.
It has been. When Greg told me that it was going to be you and me on Thursday, I was like, yes, I love Jared.
I jumped for joy.
Did you?
I did. I jumped for joy and colored jelly beans sprang from my heels. It was magical. Birds sang in the sky. Cool breezes with beautiful cedary mountain aromas blew down from the hills. The sun came out from behind the clouds. Children laughed. Puppies sang.
This took the best turn ever. I was not expecting you to go that far with it, but I'm glad you did.
No, I'm really glad to be here with you. It's always fun. You are delightful in just about every conceivable way.
Oh, that's very sweet of you to say.
It's fun.
Thank
you.
I appreciate that. And we're glad that you guys are here joining us. Thank you to everybody who is watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Don't forget, if you've got Amazon Prime, you've got Twitch Prime. We would appreciate it if you guys would toss us your monthly sub. It helps everyone here at Kinda Funny out quite a bit. We would appreciate that.
Yeah, and that monthly sub, it doesn't renew, doesn't auto renew. Got to do it every month.
Amazon. Shaking my angry fist. But of course, if you guys are watching live, you guys know you have a special job while watching the show. We need you to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to let us know what we screw up as we screw it up. And we, of course, will go over those at the end of the show. But for everybody else watching on podcast services around the globe or on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, thank you so much for supporting the show. This, of course, is your source for nerdy video game news in the morning. 5 days a week.
Indeed. Five. Could be Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
No, that's too many days.
Too many days?
Yeah, you know, we need some time off to play the video games.
No Kind of Funny weekends?
Well, you know, no.
What if we did like a groovy, like kind of like weekend coffee cup show or maybe like Meet the Press on a Sunday?
It's like, just like once a month, maybe.
Yeah,
we I sit back.
It's like, yeah, so like, hey, it's us, Kind of Funny Weekends. And we're kind of relaxed, we're dressed down a little
kinda
bit.
Kind of like Saturday morning cartoons?
Oh, I love that idea. I don't think they have Saturday morning cartoons anymore, do they?
No, not really. There's YouTube.
Yeah.
You can watch it anytime you want.
Them cartoons whenever you like? Is that better or worse?
I would say it's better because if I was a kid and I had YouTube, it would be way better for my life.
Yeah, it's just like, woohoo, excellent. Yeah, people probably don't really understand hate watching below a certain age anymore, do they? I mean, just the fact that like you watch the Brady Bunch because it wasn't the news and it was on television, not because you liked it.
It was like that or Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Well, right?
I kind of liked Wheel of Fortune.
I did really get into The Young and the Restless. Because
Really?
Yes, I did.
Oh my goodness, the Newmans and the Abbotts? Okay, we can talk. We can talk some Young and the Restless. I still watch Young and the Restless.
Do you?
Oh, especially during the summer. Oh, yeah.
I'm so impressed that so many of the cast members are still there.
Victor Newman is right there in the thick of things. Absolutely. Nikki's still there. Got Jack Abbott
What's
running around.
What's the name of the cosmetics company again?
Jabot.
That's right.
Jabot Cosmetics of Genoa City.
So good. We won't subject you to our obsession with a daytime soap opera, but we do have lots of video games to talk about. Before we do that, we've got a few pieces of housekeeping. Don't forget, we've been talking to you guys about this all week long. The Spider-Man spoiler cast with Brian Intihar from Insomniac Games is live. Again, it is a spoiler cast, so it's not recommended you go watch it until after you've played Spider-Man, but it is a wonderful piece of content. Please do check it out. Also, we've got a new party mode up at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. That is Mario Tennis Aces featuring Johnny Ace. Yes, the one and only Nick Scarpino.
Oh, I thought Johnny Ace was Joey. Oh, okay. So Johnny Ace is Nick. I've been wrong this whole time.
Yep. Sorry. Well, I mean, Joey could make up her own ace name. What would Joey's ace name be?
Joey Ace?
Joey Ace? No, we got to go something a little bit sassier.
All right. Let's see. I don't know. We got... wow. Now I goodness.
You stew on it for a minute.
Joey Michelle Serena Williams Takagami.
Perfect. I love it. Don't forget, RTX London is this week. Kindoffunny.com/RTX London will tell you what Tim and Greg are up to. Of course, they are over the pond, saying hi to all of the best friends in the UK. Well, maybe not all of them, but anybody who comes to RTX.
How many times do you think Greg's done his terrible British accent since he's gotten there?
You mean the, oi, governor?
Yeah, that thing.
Gosh, I hope not. I hope that he's got a little bit of humility left that he reigns in. I've heard that Tim is actually having a hard time with everyone's accents over there. If you're following those guys on Twitter or Instagram.
Yeah, wait, having a hard time, like understanding?
Yes.
Like English?
Yes.
But they invented it.
I know.
He has to adapt to them. That's
how
this works.
You know, you would think. But us Americans, we like things the way we like them.
That we do.
It's a flaw. But it's okay. It's okay. We all have it together. And today's episode is brought to you by Brooklyn and Loot Crate, but we'll talk more about that later. For now, let's get into what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. There are three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Ooh, a nice quiet one from Cool Greg over there.
I know, it's kind of sublime.
So Jared and I had a combined team effort in pulling the news today, so do you want to read the first story?
Oh, nonsense. You what? Are hosting. Read, read hither and yon, friend.
Why, okay, I will.
You are in charge.
Poca nominations are coming. And this is from Grayson Morales over at Twinfinite.
Big Twinfinite.
Succeeding in Pokemon Go relies heavily on living in a highly populated area with tons of landmarks, restaurants, and points of interest. For those folks that may live in a more rural or suburban area, it may be harder to encounter Pokestops and gyms, making the overall experience of Pokemon Go a bit on the not-so-fun side. Thankfully, Niantic will be rolling out the first beta test in Brazil and South Korea that will allow trainers to nominate locations for submission into the game as an official Pokestop.
Okay, so I'm excited about this. Pokemon Go... cultural phenomenon, particularly if you lived in a large American city when it launched. You remember. Mm-hmm. Did you play when it came out?
I did.
I played when it came out. You're walking around and there are people in circles hunting these AR animals that are hopping across parks, capturing these Pokemon, battling at gyms. And that was spectacular if you lived in San Francisco, if you lived in New York, if you lived in Los Angeles. If you lived in my hometown of Hickory, North Carolina, not necessarily the same experience. Or right. Your hometown of...
Fargo, North Dakota.
Yeah, Fargo, North Dakota. Maybe not the Pokemon Go capital of the world?
No, not really. There are a decent amount of Pokestops there since Fargo is the largest city in North Dakota. But that being said, it didn't have the variety of Pokemon that you would probably like to see or that you would get in a much larger city. Brittany Brombacher, my co-host over at What's Good Games, has... a long-standing relationship with Pokemon Go, and she lives about an hour south of Seattle in a very rural area. Okay. So she talks all the time about how she would have to walk 10 to 15 minutes just to find a single Pokestop.
Yeah, and that's not the way the game's meant to be enjoyed. And so they're starting to work with a system that will allow people to nominate locations as various important places where things happen in the game. And I love that. I love that because despite the very thoughtful algorithmic approach they took to picking out landmarks and stuff like that and making those logical places for Pokestops, there's still a lot of spots they've missed. So they're going to allow people to expand, hopefully, into smaller areas and do special things with the special places in those towns, in those communities, and also allow people to, I suspect, band together, create inside jokes, interesting projects that then get earned media pickup and bring more publicity to Pokemon Go. It's a smart marketing move. There's a lot that's possible around this. I like it. It'll improve a game that's very good but still needs some improvement. And so I look forward to seeing what they're able to do with this. Where would you nominate, Andrea, for a Pokestop or a gym? Like, what's a place that in your life that you want that to be?
Here? The Kind of Funny offices?
Right here?
It would be great because there's a gym actually really close to my house. And For the longest time, I could never fight there because the Pokemon there were so high level because it's not too far from a school. And so I imagine that the kids at the school go to that gym all the time. But it would be great to have a Pokestop here.
Just right here. Kind of funny.
Just right here.
I like that.
Do you know what the deal is with the nomination process?
Not like at all.
Will actually go from a nomination to becoming an actual
stop. The beta's in Brazil and South Korea. I know nothing more about it than what's here in the story. I just know that they're working in that direction. I suspect that they're going to refine that nomination process through this first exposure.
Yeah.
Because, otherwise, there's going to have to be some sort of algorithmic treatment, even of the nominations, I figure, to see if they qualify. I suspect that there will be questions about geographic location, demographics in the area. There's a lot you're going to have to fill out to make this happen. Otherwise, everybody's just going to nominate their own living room. And that could be problematic. Also, people could do some mean things with this. I mean, what if you don't want to live in a gym and somebody nominates you? There's that too.
Oh, and then you have like people standing outside your house trying to catch Pokemon.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
I would imagine that Niantic is restricting private residences from being nominated. They would have to be a commercially zoned building.
Ooh, but then again, can they check that on their end with complete accuracy? I don't know.
Well, I mean, they have a pretty extensive framework with Ingress,
yes,
right? Which is what Pokemon Go is built on. So I have to imagine they have something along those lines instituted already.
I'm very paranoid, and I don't want to be tracked wherever I go, even though I know I am. I like to pretend I'm not.
Well, you have a smartphone.
But if I had the ability to become a walking Pokemon gym, just go from place to place, and wherever I dwelt, there also was a gym. Wherever I stopped, there also was a gym. And wherever I drove, there also a gym drove along beside you. I would absolutely adopt that into my life. I wish to be Jared, the moving Pokemon gym.
Well, it would certainly make for interesting parties.
It would. Yeah, absolutely. People would always have something to do. Bring your phones, folks.
Just catch those Pidgeys until the end of time. All right. We'll keep you guys updated if that actually comes out of beta or not. The next story we have is, it literally just says new Yubi stuff. Is that the actual headline?
No, that's not the actual headline. That's what I put in there.
So this write-up comes from Colin Stevens over at IGN. Ubisoft has announced Assassin's Creed Odyssey's post-launch plans. I also received this press release, so a lot of this information comes directly from Ubisoft's press release. It includes two major episodic story arcs in Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered as part of its Season Pass, as well as some additional free content. Assassin's Creed Odyssey's Season Pass, which is included in the Gold, Ultimate, Spartan, and Pantheon editions of the game, can be purchased on its own for $40 US. It's comprised primarily of two story-centric episodic arcs, Legacy of the First Blade and The Fate of Atlantis, both of which contain three episodes that will be released approximately 6 weeks apart.
May I interrupt for a moment?
Of course.
I'm reasonably sure that when anthropologists scratch through the smoldering ruins of early 21st century civilization, they will eventually uncover the sentence, which is included in the Gold, Ultimate, Spartan, and Pantheon editions of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and understand that that's what caused our destruction. That says a lot about what's wrong with the world we live in. Anyway, please continue.
No, you're not wrong that Ubisoft goes a little overboard with the special editions. When they announced all the different editions for The Division 2, I was like, really, guys?
That's a few too many divisions.
Ba-bum-ting. Where's my symbols when I need it?
That's some long division right there.
Oh, no. Stop, Jared. Stop. The Legacy of the First Blade will introduce players to the first hero to wield the iconic hidden blade, changing the course of history. It will begin releasing in December 2018. The Fate of Atlantis will have players confront godly creatures and uncover the secrets of the legendary sunken city of Atlantis beginning in spring 2019. The last major and most surprising addition to the season pass is Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered, which fans will remember centers on the American Revolution. This remaster will be released in March 2019 and can be purchased outside the season pass for an as of yet unannounced price. AC3 Remastered will include the core game and all of its DLC, the Benedict Arnold missions, hidden secret packs, and the Tyranny of King George. Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered will also include Assassin's Creed Liberation Remastered, a game originally released on the PlayStation Vita.
R.I.P.
Both remastered games will feature 4K and HDR functionality on PS4 Pro, Xbox One X, and PC, higher resolution textures, a new graphic engine, other graphical enhancements, and improved gameplay mechanics.
Uh-huh.
So this is incredibly interesting. I actually really enjoyed AC3. I know that game was kind of divisive for a lot of people, but I had a lot of fun with it. Obviously, AC4 was a better game. I don't think that's in dispute. But what's interesting about it is that if you're a fan of Assassin's Creed, how deep are you into the Assassin's Creed lore?
Lore?
Yeah.
Or like
the lore of the franchise.
The lore of the franchise gets in the way of my enjoying most of those games.
Oh, no, you're one of those?
I am.
Oh,
I'm
that's
one of
so
those.
Sad.
I mean, I don't mind it. I don't find it offensive or anything.
Well, that's good.
But just like, can I just stab some more Romans now?
I mean, yes, there's going to be plenty to stab in an Odyssey.
Oh, wait, no, those would be Greeks. Will there be Romans?
There's Romans and Greeks in the game.
Oh, wait, there's Romans? Yeah. I have Romans to stab, too?
Yes.
Oh, my. Oh, my goodness. Romulus and Remus. Oh, boy. Please continue.
I think it's fascinating because there's a very pivotal story arc that happens in AC3 with the present day Assassin's Creed stuff. And so I'm curious as to why they're bringing this one back specifically as a remaster. I would love them to remaster all of the Assassin's Creed games. I know we have the Ezio collection,
mm-hmm.
But I think it's fascinating that they're doing this. And it kind of gets my wheels turning a little bit about what it could potentially mean story-wise and narrative-wise for Odyssey. Now, they did some interesting things with Origins, but they didn't, in my opinion, quite go far enough as a big fan of this franchise and someone who's played all of the games.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. I probably will go back and replay this. I definitely want to play Liberation. I never actually finished Liberation.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the one that feature the first female assassin. Mm-hmm. And she has a couple really cool powers in that game as well. I believe that Liberation was released on PS4, but it wasn't remastered. It was just ported.
So you
maybe that's a kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. You can help me out with that.
So you're really intrigued by the lore implications and how that could feed into Odyssey and their plans beyond then. You think that this is a clue to where the franchise is headed?
Yes. Okay. I do.
Do you have any speculation on how?
Well, it's hard for me to openly speculate without probably getting into what would be considered spoiler territory. Okay. And like, I know that AC3 is obviously very old at this point, but Origins isn't that old.
Mm-hmm. No, so, Origins is pretty young. So I understand not wanting to spoil that.
I also probably want to like simmer on this a little bit.
Okay.
But I would love to hear you guys' thoughts or theories if you have them. Either tweet to me or leave it in the comments or something. Let me know what you guys think in the Kinda Funny subreddit. But of course, as we mentioned, Assassin's Creed or Ubisoft loves their
special editions,
loves their season passes, loves their DLC, loves their special editions. This is not surprising. I actually really liked all of the DLC they did for Origins. Mm-hmm. I've never been disappointed with DLC packs I've gotten from Assassin's Creed. So this is not surprising in the least. I know that there's a contingency of people out there that really don't approve of publishers or developers announcing DLC ahead of launch. Mm-hmm. But in a long-running franchise like Assassin's Creed that I think has set a precedent for the types of games that you're going to get and the types of DLC you're going to get, I don't think that this is super egregious.
Yeah, they've been pretty clear that 2019 is their year of Odyssey anyway, that's going to be the Assassin's Creed focus.
And they're taking next year off.
Looking at DLC. Yeah. Yeah, or not exactly off, but focusing on this game and expanding it as opposed to...
Right.
And it looks like a pretty darn meaty... I mean, what we've seen of this looks like a meaty game anyway. So yeah. I doubt we're going to have a shortage of content.
No, Origins was massive. Yeah. And I loved every minute of it and played both of the DLC packs. So I'm definitely looking forward to Odyssey.
The Origins and Odyssey are one of those things where like somebody just took my 8 misused years of college and like, you know, we should make 2 video games about everything Jared cares about, studied, and never got to use as an adult. So I'm very excited to see this coming.
We'll have to do a spoiler cast. We'll have to have like you come down to what's good and do a spoiler cast with us.
I would absolutely love that.
It'd
that
be
would
great.
Make me very, very happy.
Yay.
I keep wanting to have you on one of my things, but you're not like
in
really
town?
Into Red not in town, and you're not super into Red Dead either. So that's been my focus so far. But perhaps when I launch a more general purpose project, general audience.
Well,
project,
I've told the girls because Steimer is a gigantic Red Dead fan. She 100%ed Red Dead Redemption, and Brittany is really looking forward to it. And I told them, I go, listen, I have nothing but massive respect for Rockstar as a studio and will take a leap of faith into any project that they make because they have shown that they are one of the best in class developers in the world. But something about the changes that they've made for Red Dead 2 have me intrigued. So I'm obviously going to try it.
Yeah.
Dip my toes in the Western waters and see how it goes.
Dip my toes in the Western waters. Sounds like a song by King Crimson, like, or Yes, maybe, or Asia, like one of the early like prog rock bands. Yeah. Prog rock supergroup Asia.
I guess if you think about it, it could work.
I dip my toes in the Western waters. Maybe the B-side of like a Led Zeppelin album or Rush. Could be that too. I don't know. I'm going to go home and write about dipping my toes in the Western waters.
Hold on to that nugget, Jared.
I will hold on to that nugget. Got to hold that nugget.
The third and final item of the Europa Report today. Creator of Shadow of the Colossus is working on a new game of a similar scale. So this story comes from Imran Khan over at Game Informer, and Jared is pumping his fists in the air with excitement. So this story... broke yesterday, and we missed it because of the Japanese translation and the time zone for which it came out. Fumito Ueda, the lauded director of games like Ico, Shadow of the Colossus, and The Last Guardian, has confirmed that he is working on a new title of a similar scale to his previous games. In an interview with Japanese magazine Famitsu, Ueda talked about his new studio, Gen Design, and plans for future game development. Quote, we're in a stage of various trials. This stage we're in where we're actually making our ideas to test if they're interesting or not, he told Famitsu and translated by Gamatsu. What we're making now doesn't feel like an indie game. We're ultimately aiming for something on the scale of Ico, Shadow of the Colossus, and The Last Guardian. Ueda announced his latest game, The Last Guardian, was first announced in 2008 for the PlayStation 3.
I think that's just a typo. Yeah,
it must be. Despite appearances at trade shows, the game disappeared from the public eye and was re-revealed for the PlayStation 4 in 2015 and subsequently released in 2016. Toward the end of development, Ueda was either let go or departed Sony and Team Ico. The studio essentially centered around him and worked on the title as a consultant. He found his current studio, Gen Design, after exiting Sony. While it's gone now, we did discover this image on Gen Design's website, possibly a tease towards their project. And so the image is available in the Game Informer article. It's this long vertical image. You can't really see what's going on here. Even if you zoom in, it's like a single hand, a monster fist.
Concept art.
There's like a little piece of stairs. I don't know what's happening in this photo at all.
Well, they probably don't either. Like, right now they're in that stage where they're just, like you said, working on ideas to seeing if they're even fun.
Noodling.
And it's noodling. I like that. Noodling. Yeah. Like that noodly jazz.
Yeah.
So exactly. If there's anything to history, this game will come out in 2026 or so.
That sounds right.
so we have a long time to be talking about it. All three of those games are very good. Ico's a fantastic a departure from what people expected from games at that point. Shadow is a bona fide classic, and we got a wonderful remaster of it not all that long ago. And Last Guardian is really neat, even when the dog won't listen to me. And did you play Last Guardian?
I played the first bit of it before I got kind of frustrated, and then I was like, you know what, Trico? I'm done with you.
Away with you, Trico. And I think that when he says things like, we're fooling around with ideas, see if they work. Maybe we should see if a dog bird's actually fun this time.
Because
it not listening to you was part of the fun of the game until you were standing in a spot and you just couldn't get him to move and you couldn't figure out why. And that does start being frustrating. You can only play Rain World for so long before you throw your controller at the screen.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think that I have a lot of faith in these folks. I'm happy we live in a world where Last Guardian existed or exists. I would rather we went through all the waiting, all the tribulation, and got a pretty good game with some really neat parts than that we didn't get it. I like what we came out on the other side of that with. And Shadow, I am moved by. I think Shadow is... Angie had never played Shadow, and we play games together a lot. We sat down to play Shadow. She'd heard me talk about it for years. And we got as far as the first Colossus. And she's like, but I don't want to hurt it.
And no one does, yeah. Angie. No one does.
And I was just like, but that I know. And she's like, can I go? You can try. And she went away. And I said, do I have to hurt? Yeah, that's kind of the point. And she's like, I don't want to play anymore. And that was that.
I don't blame her.
Put it down. She's like, I can't hurt that. A game that has that kind of power, that's neat and rare.
I don't disagree with you, Jared.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea of what they could possibly be working on? Do you think it's going to be in the same art style? Because all three of these games kind of have a similar art style.
I think that they are smart enough to know that what they're going to show us is going to have to look a little different. They're going to have to lean on different tech.
Different tech for sure.
Yeah. And I think that they'll bring some new people in to do engineering. They will probably use it. The fact is you can get away with the stories they told with different kinds of engines than the ones they've doubled down on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they know that better than we do. I'm sure they wish they were building on different technology 3 years in than they were, even more than we did. No, I don't have a clue what this game's going to be. I do think that their go straight for the feels approach to storytelling is not going to change. I actually would expect to see something from them a little more control-oriented.
Like from a mechanic standpoint, you mean?
Yeah, something. I wonder if they won't demand a little bit more of us on the stick than they have before.
I would be on board for that.
Mm-hmm. I think that might be the take they take. And I'm basing that purely on thinking about an artist looking back at his body of work up to this point and the desire to create something that'll make a splash, to challenge himself. That's my thoughts.
Well, Jared, those are great thoughts, but the next game from Ueda-san is so far away.
At least 2026.
If people wanted to know what was coming today to the mom and Grop Digital Shops. Where would they go?
Mom and Grop Digital Shop? Wow. I want to. Can we open the Mom and Grop Digital Shop?
That's what Greg says.
I don't. Grop. Here we go. They would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Do, 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 do. Yeah.
Nice.
Out today. There's a lot of games on Switch because it's Thursday. Aggressors of Dark Combat from Neo Geo is on Xbox One and Switch. Bastion is on Switch. Love that game. If you've never played it, now is a perfect time to pick it up from Supergiant. Broken Age is on the Switch eShop from Double Fine.
I like that game.
It is a great game, and it's getting a physical release later, so this is just the digital version for clarification. Danger Mouse, The Danger Games is on Switch. Doling's Arcade is on Switch. Dying Light Bad Blood is on Steam Early Access today. Fishing Sim World is on Xbox One. Marble Duel, PS4. Nefarious is on Switch. Old School Musical on Switch. Senran Kagura Reflections is on Switch. Stay is on Switch. Shadow Fight 2 is on Switch. Super Dungeon Tactics. The Mahjong Huntress. The Spectrum Retreat, The Warlock of Firetop Mountain, Goblin Scourge Edition are all on Switch.
Another thing they're going to dig out of the ashes that when they go, what happened to us?
That's a lot of words.
The Goblin.
What's up, Kevin? The Warlock. You got excited. Trials Rising, the closed beta begins today on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Wasteland 2, the Director's Cut is on Switch.
Stop the presses! Play this game. Play this game. If you like RPGs, play this game. If you like Fallout, play this game. This is the best Fallout game you've never played.
Oh, that is quite a ringing endorsement, Jared.
This is a Fallout game from the creators of Fallout that's not a Fallout game.
All right. Oh, well, it's on Switch. Gonna have to check it out.
Yep. Sorry, I was very excited.
No, that's all right. Too. And Warframe's new expansion or new DLC, I can't remember if it's a full expansion or not. Mask of the Revenant is out today on PS4 and Xbox One. New dates, a big one, Diablo 3, the Eternal Collection, is finally making its way onto Switch on November 2nd in just under 2 months.
2018. That's BlizzCon, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Indeed.
That is BlizzCon.
Exciting.
Coincidence? Yes. I think not.
I think not. That's right. Yeah, and that's, you know, what an exciting time to enjoy the action RPG genre. We got a new Torchlight game coming. We got Diablo coming to Switch. This is a good world to live in right now. I'm pretty excited about that.
I wonder how Diablo is going to work with the new Nintendo Online service.
I mean, I wonder how the Nintendo Online, will they ever really reveal to us what's going to happen with that? I mean, I hear they're going to tell us something
about
it. Gary
and I spoke about it yesterday because they revealed the launch date is next week, right? On the 18th. But they're supposed to be giving more details on the direct that's happening this afternoon. And did you say you're doing a watch along?
I did. Cannot yet share the details about that because they're still being finalized. But
so maybe.
If you are a patron of Kinda Funny Games and you're watching live tomorrow when we record Kinda Funny Games cast at 3:00, you may be in for something special. That's what I can say.
But the direct is today.
Wait, did I say today?
Yeah.
Did I say tomorrow?
Yes. Today is Thursday, Jared. You're recording
Good
Gamescast today.
Lord, why does anyone allow me to be on the show?
No, don't beat yourself up. I honestly thought it was Friday.
Yeah.
Have you talked about the direct at all?
We're just talking about the direct
The fact that we're the Gamescast.
Are you being facetious? We're literally in the middle of talking about that right now.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, that's what we're discussing. And I was convinced that today
some people are dum-dums and don't even know what day it is.
I thought it was Wednesday. I thought it was Wednesday all of a sudden. I don't
Andy,
know.
Andy, you stop that.
Okay.
Oh, we're real funny, huh?
So we're going to try this again here. Today, 3:00 p.m. Pacific time, if you're watching Kinda Funny Gamescast live with the other patrons, and we hope that you will, and you're there in the pre-show, you can watch along with us. That's right. So that's what's happening. I was going to say it was tomorrow, but that would be a day too late.
I mean, you could tune in tomorrow, but nothing's probably going to be happening.
No, that won't be there at all. Sorry about that. I apologize for sucking.
You don't suck, Jared. You're great. You're just a very busy man with lots of things on your mind. Hopefully we can get Miss Joey Noel to tweet that from the Kinda Funny account. So everyone who is not watching live right now will be able to get that info. We'll remind her to do that after we're done here today. Deals of the day. We actually forgot to pull one of these. That's on us. Sorry, friends, but I'm sure there's some deals.
Actually, I looked
somewhere
around and didn't see any good deals for the
didn't
day.
See any?
No,
let
I
me
didn't
quickly
see
just go to our dear friend Wario64's page.
Oh.
If you guys don't follow at Wario64 on Twitter, You should. He's great, and he always has deals happening.
Does he have a dark rival?
Here we go. Radiant Historia Perfect Chronology on the 3DS is $34.27 on Amazon.
Well, there we go.
And he's got affiliate links, so you guys should go and click on his links and help him out. He's great.
What about his dark rival, Waluigi 64?
Does that exist?
I don't know. If it doesn't, it should.
You should check.
Should be a very obnoxious account that doesn't actually need to exist, but does anyway, that people can complain about not being in Smash Brothers. It's called Waluigi 64.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm into this. He also tweeted that you can get 50% off select games and accessories at Newegg with a special code NEN9156. They have Thrustmaster wheels. They've got Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle for $30. They've got Far Cry 5 on Xbox for $30. Persona 5 for $30. And Skyrim PSVR. You can get Crash Bandicoot for $20. And you can get Dragon Quest Heroes 2 for just $12.50. Whoa. You can get Resident Evil 7 on Xbox for $10?
That's pretty cool.
That's a great deal.
That's quite a deal.
Again, at Wario64, go on over, show him some love, click on his affiliate links, help him out. He's a great guy. Okay. Now, let's talk about reader mail. And today, it is brought to you by Brooklinen and Loot Crate. Greg and Tim love to sleep on their brooklinen.com sheets because they're so soft and comfortable. They, of course, are the winner of the best online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. And Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Say that five times fast.
Question for you, Andrea.
Yes.
Okay, so we know here that Greg and Tim like to sleep on those sheets because they're so soft and comfortable. Can you clarify for me, is it because the sheets are so comfortable or because Greg and Tim are so soft and comfortable?
Well, they do like to snuggle. Greg has mentioned that on the show more than once.
Yeah. So they're soft and comfortable, but also the sheets are even more.
It's like double comfort.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Goodness.
Did you know, though, that Brooklinen has over 20,000 five-star reviews?
Curiously, I did.
Oh, good for you.
Yes.
You are a well-informed individual, Jared.
Well, I read the ad read.
You're like, actually, I just read what's on the paper. If you guys go to brooklinen.com, you can click between colors and styles and find the one that's right for you. And let's be honest, we all need a new set of sheets in our lives. But most bedding is marked up by as much as 300%. But not at Brooklinen. They drop the middleman and ship straight to you. Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets that you'll ever sleep on. And you can get an exclusive offer just for being a listener of Kinda Funny Games Daily. If you go to brooklinen.com, you'll get $20 off and free shipping when you use our promo code GAMES. That's right, promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com, and they're so sure you're going to love their sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee with a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. So you can try it out, fall in love with it, and then forget about the satisfaction guarantee because you're never going to want to send them back. That's Brooklinen, BROOKLINEN.com, promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, these really are the best sheets ever.
I need to get over there and get some of those Brooklinen sheets because I got that kind of like that nasty acid drool.
You know, they've got some new designs. So ooh. If you guys have bought the Brooklinen sheets in the past.
Yeah.
You know, what Greg always says is just get a new email address and sign up with a new account.
Yeah.
Get that $20 off and that free shipping on a new set.
Whoa.
Set.
Wow. Bam. Greg Miller. Play in the system.
Listen, got to use the code GAMES. It really helps us out here.
Yeah.
And we also want to give a big shout out and a thank you to Loot Crate. That's right, you guys. Loot Crate is sponsoring us. And if you didn't know, Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box delivered direct to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Crate curates designs, everything themselves. You guys cannot find these items anywhere else. I have gotten tons of stuff from Loot Crate. I personally have gotten the Mass Effect Loot Crates because I'm a giant BioWare fan, which you guys know already. Craig loves his Ghostbusters collectibles and his DC stuff.
Harry Potter.
You got the Harry Potter one, cool, Greg?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know they did a Harry Potter one.
I didn't know
one.
About the Harry Potter
Dang
one.
Dang it, I missed out. Maybe they'll do another one. Each month has its own theme, and this month is First Contact with out-of-world items featuring Marvel's Venom, Alien, Predator, and X-Files. You'll get a guaranteed t-shirt in every crate, and they pack $50 of value for less than $20 a month. You can't lose. This crate is going to sell out, and you have only until Wednesday, September 19th at 6 p.m. to guarantee your order, or it will be gone forever.
Forever.
Get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company. Geek out in style with Loot Crate. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter the code GAMES to save an exclusive 15% off of your subscription. That's lootcrate, lootcrate.com/games and enter the code GAMES to save 15% off your subscription.
Excellent. I should do that.
Yes. All right, let's get into some reader mail. We've got lots of good ones. Before we dive in here, I just wanted to make a note that I saw that many of you wrote in asking Gary and I some follow-up questions from the loot box conversation that we had yesterday. And while I don't want to go down that rabbit hole again, mostly because our good friend Jared here can't legally talk about it, and that would make for a very boring one-sided conversation. I just wanted to say, like, to clarify my point, which I kind of got into it with some of you guys in the comments on the YouTube video. I am against loot boxes, for the record. My point was, I just am also against government regulation on loot boxes. And that's all I'm going to say about the matter. That's it. And hopefully we can have another fun, lively banter discussion, because Gary is great.
Yeah, I want to clarify there. I've had people ask me about the EA relationships before and why I don't talk about things. I want to be clear. It's not so much an issue of legality as it's an issue of ethics and liability for things that I was involved in. I love to talk about the wonderful games EA makes. There's lots of things on here I do talk about. But sometimes we're in situations where I can't talk about certain things. And I can't do that and remain true to the principles of doing what I do and doing it well. So I want to be very clear about that. Some people have asked me to comment on that before, and I've been reluctant to, just because it's not really a deal. But in this particular case and others, there's some stuff I just shouldn't talk about publicly, and that's why.
Well, thank you for that. We've got lots of questions, though, to discuss. Is there any particular one you want to start with here?
Why not start at the beginning, because the word bamboozled is in it.
It is great. So Marco from Mather writes in and says, "Dear Andrea and Jared, have we been bamboozled by Nintendo with all of the talks of whether or not we are ready for digital only? Did we not notice the Switch is mostly all digital? Think about it. When was the last time you changed the cartridge on your Switch? Thank you for making every day a delight. Adios."
Okay, so Marco, you found the one human being on Earth that's wrong to ask that question to, because I love physical media. So I have all these tiny little cartridges in my little Nintendo, and I switch them out all the time. But I realize that I am not in any way close to the majority on that matter. And it is a digital future. You know, I got my little, I think I've only got a 128 gig card in my
Nintendo.
That's
what I have, yeah.
Is that what you have in yours?
Well, that's the irony of you bringing this up, is that the Switch of all of the consoles has the least chance of setting you up for success for digital only, because the internal memory is so small.
On the other hand, so are the games.
Well, they are, but now that we're seeing more third-party games come to the Switch, those games are increasingly bigger and bigger. The big one that people talked about, of course, was Wolfenstein from Bethesda, and how large that file was. So it's not surprising to me that, you know, you think that it's digital only, but I don't think it'll ever go digital only. Nintendo, like Microsoft and PlayStation, have a very deep relationship with the brick and mortar retailers. Yeah. I would say Nintendo probably more than the other publishers, because it's just been in retail for longer. Mm-hmm. And they do special editions and all kinds of other things with GameStop and other retailers. So while they have been releasing quite a few things on the eShop, I don't think they're going digital only anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think they are either. I think they could choose, if they wish to release a digital-only Switch with higher memory. And again, that we can just add a bigger SD card as prices and those continue to dive. But why take the cartridge slot out right now? What do they really have to gain from it? It's not an expensive component of the unit, not that I can imagine. The cartridges are not particularly expensive to purchase, and that means they're likely not very expensive to manufacture. If there's anybody that knows otherwise around that, please let me know. But Microsoft, for a while, we know from some paperwork that leaked out, or some patent work we looked at a few years ago, was speculated to maybe be looking at similar cartridges to what went into the Switch for next-gen hardware for a while, and ended up not going with it. There are advantages to physical media. You mentioned those relationships, and that's a huge part of it. I mean, we talk about, we're all moving to digital, but if other people move out of stores, then Nintendo owns the stores. And proportionally, that can be very good for them. Do you really want to step out and cede all your brick and mortars to a rival yet? So you want to keep your foot in, too, if you're Microsoft or Sony. It's a dance. There's a lot that goes into that. I think you raise a great point, Andrea.
Why, thank you, Jared. Brandon says, "Good afternoon, Andrea and Jared. With 2018, I had set a personal goal to spend more time reading and less time consuming digital content. I try to finish at least one book a month. Recently finished Jason Schreier's Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, and it was great. I was interested to know if either of you have any recommendations for websites or writers who do exceptional work in long-form reviews of video games or video game-related topics. As always, thanks for the endless time you dedicate and content from What's Good and Hop, Blip, and a Jump. What good luck with the impending holiday madness. Thanks, Brandon from Wisconsin.
I mean, geez, wow. I can talk about a lot of people I read. I recommend Kat Bailey, the editor-in-chief of US Gamer.
She's great.
And really, their writing staff has a number of standout people. And of course, names are all going to fall out of my ears right now. Nadia Oxford, who's been in this industry for years, writes a lot of really great stuff. I'm a big fan of the writing of Jeremy Parrish, who both does videos and writes a lot of medium to long form stuff and publishes his own books. Which are very, very good, both artistically and in terms of the quality of the copy. They are great reads, and he's an artist, so they're also beautiful. Chris Kohler from Wired is one of my favorite people to read.
He's such a lovely person, too.
Isn't he just a delight?
He's great.
He's all kinds of fun. I really like that fellow, Chris Kohler. I like to read, big fan of the work of Chloe Rad at IGN. She's one of my favorite people to read in the industry. When Dornbush gets a chance to do something besides a news article, Jonathan's a great writer. So is Brandon Tyrell. A lot of good writers over there. I'm biased from having worked on that end of things.
Yeah, there's Kimberly Wallace at Game Informer, who does great feature work, and she does long form reviews as well. A name that comes up a lot is Patrick Klepek, who is at Waypoint right now. Austin Walker over at Waypoint is also very good. Yeah, there's a lot of people doing great work right now in video games.
Absolutely. And I think that print doesn't seem to make as much quick money as video does. And it's increasingly pushed under the surface of what's prioritized in terms of people throwing it in front of your face. But digging up print does something to your brain that most video has a harder time doing. It gets inside you intrinsically. You're processing it as you read in a way that you don't necessarily do when you're watching.
I think we have become so passive in a lot of what we watch because we are watching screens for so much of our day now that it's easy to let your mind wander when you're watching something critical versus when you're reading it. Because I feel like personally I have to focus more when I'm reading than when I'm watching.
Yeah.
Because usually when I'm watching something, I'm probably doing two or three other things at the same time.
If you're looking for interesting books out of this space, a few that come to mind right away, Dungeons and Dreamers is very interesting. It's the story of Richard Garriott. Hackers, the 25th Anniversary Edition, which is a book about the history of computers that was written in the early 80s. So it's about the history of computers, but it's written from the 60s to the early 80s. And that's a very different world than we live in now, but it reveals the origins of the entire video game industry in a really fascinating and readable way.
There's Michael Futter's The Game Dev Business Handbook, which also gives kind of like an inside look at indie devs and how they make games.
Yep. Masters of Doom is kind of essential reading, I think, in this industry. That's a really great investigative book on the creation of Doom. The boss fight books, generally speaking, are great, but I'm going to plug for a couple of friends. Again, Chris Kohler's Final Fantasy V
book. Yes, Alexa Ray Correa's Kingdom Hearts 2.
Which is great. Her Kingdom Hearts book is so good. Love it.
I miss Alexa Ray.
Yeah, also the Bible Adventures book from that series is spectacular, which is by...
Yeah, and then Nick Suttner's Shadow of the Colossus book.
Yep, and the Earthbound book is well-regarded for very good reasons, and the Chrono Trigger book. There's a lot of good
stuff. We gave you a bunch of stuff, so hopefully you guys have been making notes and typing this down. There's a lot of material there to keep you busy, hopefully, for a little while.
I believe we're nerds.
You think?
You want to switch glasses, glasses buddies?
I want to clean your glasses, definitely. Might have makeup on mine.
Oh, no. You're
oh,
so
no.
Clean.
Oh, Jared, I can't see at all.
Wow. It's so, it's all just blurry.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't see anything.
Oh, my goodness.
This was a fun experiment.
It was an experiment. Mine are so gross. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have.
Mine have makeup all on them.
Oh,
it's okay.
Whatever. Yours are so clean. Mine.
I'll clean it for you after the show.
Mine look like somebody threw up on
it. If you guys are listening, Jared and I just swapped glasses. It was a futile experiment.
It was.
Okay. All Paul wants to know, with so many massive open world games coming out and being consistently good, how do you balance the massive open world, side quests, collectibles, exploration, challenges with the main story? I find I get so wrapped up in doing all the side parts of the world that all of a sudden I feel burned out on the game and I barely touched the main quest lines.
My solution to that is usually if I reach that point, I just quit playing.
Oh, no. You just walk away?
Yeah, sure. I don't finish anything.
That's tragic.
But no, if I find myself burned out from going too far one way, I walk away for a while and come back to it. Or sometimes don't. But when I'm playing a big game, I try to do what's fun for me all the time. I try to avoid the compulsive bait that's
right.
thrown out there to try to feed me on that loot loop. Because unless the game is just artistically tuned, loot loops usually don't get me. There are exceptions. Dragon Quest XI absolutely grabbed me on its loot loop. It was great. But I just kind of do what I feel like doing in that moment. That's the point of the open world game for me, is to screw with it. What about you?
I generally balance it with how difficult the combat encounters are and how much I want to be leveled up. I'm the kind of person that I prefer to be over leveled for the quest lines that I go into. And so in order to do that, I have to do quite a bit of grinding before I continue on the main quest line. But also, it really depends on how compelling the narrative is of the main quest. If I really want to find out what happens next, I'll continue on. And I kind of found myself doing that with Shadow of the Tomb Raider, that I was really compelled to keep doing the main story quest lines because it was a really interesting narrative.
Yeah.
And open world content is relatively new in that franchise, and they did a little bit of it in Rise, and it's greatly expanded in this installment. And while I did find some of the characters to be interesting, I didn't feel like they were fleshed out enough to keep me compelled to come back. And the rewards weren't necessarily as good as I wanted them to be either. I felt the rewards for some of the other things in the game world, the challenge tombs and the crypts, were far more compelling as a reason to go off the main quest line than it wasn't. Because, I mean, you technically could finish the game between 60 and 70% completion and then never do the rest of the stuff. But I found that some of the armor that you get from the challenge tombs and some of that you get from the crypts and some of the skill perks you get from the challenge tombs really helped me in the combat encounters later in the game.
Do you like that feeling? You mentioned over-leveling. I tend to be an over-leveler as well. Do you like that feeling of suffering through something really challenging so you can blow through something immediately afterward? Like, is that rewarding for you?
Wait.
So when
I'm
when
trying
you grind,
to understand what exactly.
So
you're
if
asking
I got to go
me.
Through a challenge dungeon to get my special armor, special okay. weapon, right? It's tight. It's difficult. It's right on the edge of what I can handle.
Right.
But the moment I've got it, I go to that next encounter. It's so much easier than it would have been otherwise.
Okay.
I mean, love that feeling. Do you?
I don't know if I love that feeling, because I generally am not the kind of person who looks for that type of really hard challenge in a game. I like to enjoy myself and have a good time and have like a little bit of a challenge. I don't want it to be a walk in the park, but I'm not the kind of person that plays on super badass hard mode. Mm-hmm. Especially on my first playthrough. Now, if it's my third or fourth playthrough, which I rarely replay games that many times, it has to be a very compelling game for me to do so. Then obviously like I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I would say probably not. The short answer there is no.
What's the last game you've like finished and started over immediately?
Oh man, that's a great question. Probably Destiny.
Destiny? Wow.
I replayed the campaign in Destiny quite a few times.
Destiny 2 or?
Both. Both wow. Destiny and Destiny 2. I mean, but like, that's like, I mean, almost everybody I know has all of their alt characters all max leveled. See, because you can have three characters. And so I just like, I really love playing Destiny.
So happy for you. And I don't understand, but I'm so happy you
thanks,
like
Jared.
It.
I have to say, I generally don't get compelled by New Game Plus at all. Yeah. I don't. I just like, mm-hmm. There's too many other games to play that are on my backlog list. We all have a pile of shame. Mine grows bigger every week that a new game gets released. And I'm going to be hard pressed to be compelled to go back and do New Game Plus. Now, I understand that my situation is different, because in order for us to keep making compelling content on the shows that we do, we have to keep finding new things to talk yeah. about. Whereas a lot of gamers out there want to get replayability mm-hmm. out of their titles. So the New Game Plus is a fantastic way to get another run at a game that you just spent, you know, $60+ on.
I like New Game Pluses or post-game content, either one, and sometimes these in a mix, when they lead to secret endings that are actually substantive, when they lead to new mechanics, when they lead to significant amounts of hidden content. I love that. A minute is really good at that. Dragon Quest XI, I was mentioning earlier, the post-game is the best part of that game. I've been amazed. And that's, I love it when the new game plus really just alters everything at a fundamental level and it's not immediately apparent. But that's fairly rare in games because very often New Game Plus is about recycling.
Yeah, yeah, Super Mario Odyssey was really good about that too.
Yes.
Like tons of post-game content.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing.
Arguable that most of the game is after you beat the game.
I think there's a lot to be said for that. I agree. Also, if you haven't played Minute yet, oh my gosh, play Minute.
I know, you keep talking about it and it sounds so good. I'm just about to finish Celeste, so. Yeah, I talk about it at length on What's Good Games that is publishing tomorrow morning, but I dragged my feet on Celeste because it's the type of game that I generally shy away from. It's side-scrolling, 2D, Metroidvania, platformer, like this, like, old school art style. It's all the things that I'm like, nah, I'm good. But I heard nothing but incredibly wonderful, positive things about it. And I promised, you know, the What's Good audience that I would play it before the end of the year for Game of the Year consideration. And so on my flight to Copenhagen, there and back, I started playing it on my Switch and now I'm almost to the end. And it's been absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's been tough. I kind of told myself, oh, I'll just put it on assist mode and kind of breeze through just to experience it. And I didn't, because there's this fantastic moment in the very beginning of the game where it explains how the standard difficulty is the designed experience for Celeste, but that they want everybody to be able to experience it. So they've built in all of these modes. But then there's a standalone screen and all it says is you can do this.
Yeah.
And what that screen is the screen that got me.
Which is the whole, which is what Celeste is about.
I know. It's
you
so
you can
deep.
Do this.
It's like the story of Celeste is so inspiring on so many levels. And I did not know. All I heard was people say the story is good. They didn't explain why it's good.
The
and
fact
how
that
it,
the story is connected to the gameplay in these really weird, wonderful ways.
And how it's like about the whole mountain is an allegory and how you're competing against yourself and fighting yourself instead of, you know, confronting these parts of yourself that you want to hide away. And like, it's really fucking good, you guys. So if you're like me and like the idea of it was like, yeah, it's not for me. No, thanks. I would encourage you to do what I did and just sit down and get into it. And you're going to die a lot. And the game also tells you it's okay. Don't worry about how many times you die. I've died over 900 times.
Well, that's
by the time I finish it, I'll probably crack 1,000 deaths. You know, and the strawberries, I love that at the very beginning, they're like, don't worry about them. You're not going to get any perks for getting them. They're purely just if you want to, you know, go for it and see if you can do it, do it. And so I never felt pressured or compelled to have to like go for those extra things
because it doesn't hinder the story. You don't need that. You don't need any of that. It's all there. It's all fun. They added more value, but you don't need to. And the early December of this year is just going to be me standing in a corner. I'm worried with like two fists, like going to myself. You didn't say like God of War. Celeste, Red Dead, God of War, Celeste, Red Dead. Like having to choose one is going to kill me, I think.
Yeah, it's tough. It's an expertly crafted game with a fantastically written story with really compelling characters, which, you know, we don't get, you don't really get a game that kind of checks all of the boxes.
Yeah.
And this is something that I've talked about kind of ad nauseum on the show when we talk about Game of the Year considerations. And I don't want to go down a Game of the Year rabbit hole right now, but don't sleep on it. It's on Switch. I don't know if that's the best platform to play it on because, as I tweeted about, the little joystick on the Joy-Con is pretty unforgiving in the pixel-perfect platforming that Celeste has. So I'm going to try finishing it with my Pro Controller and see what the difference is.
There at the end, it does get a little dicey.
Oh, yeah. Dicey is a nice way of putting it. It's brutal. It's controller throwing sometimes. Yeah. Like, it's pretty frustrating.
But not
because it demands perfection of you. It really does. It's very Super Meat Boy in that way. But it's great. Anyway, I got off on a tangent there.
You know what? The good people of the show, if they're still listening, they'll forgive us. And if not, we'll see it in the YouTube comments.
That's true. That's very true. Let's see here. Do you want to do your Angry Jared voice?
Oh, my goodness. This from Austin T. Okay, here we go. I need Angry Jared voice, please. What is happening over at Amazon? My past four pre-orders that I made because of their promotional offers have all completely missed the release delivery by a long shot. One of my games delivered 3 days after release in Texas. I live in North Carolina. My Shadow of the Tomb Raider is now delayed to Tuesday, even though it shipped today. What is the point of continuing to offer promotional pre-orders if you can't deliver on them? I know Jared has had similar problems with Amazon lately. I thought he could chime in as well. Thanks for all you do, and keep that chicken safe from all inclement weather. Austin T.
I hope your ears are okay, everybody. We tried to give you a little bit of a warning. I also was not prepared. Cool Greg, are you okay over there?
That was intense.
That was incredibly intense. Austin T., you're not wrong. I stopped pre-ordering from Amazon for this exact reason. You may remember last fall when I was waiting for my Super Nintendo Classic Edition.
Oh, yeah.
And they just up and canceled my order. The day was supposed to be shipped to be like, oops, sorry, we don't have one for you. But they were selling them off the back of those stupid Amazon trucks around town, the treasure trucks or whatever. And I was like, but I paid for that. That one's supposed to be mine. What are you doing selling it off just, the back of a truck?
Did you ever just run up to the truck and grab your own? Like, just
I would have if one was in close proximity. But they've really been kind of like dropping the ball here. And it's been consistent over the last year or so that this story is all too common for pre-orders. And this is something like this is enough to drive you to going digital only. But sometimes, you know, you order like a collector's edition or something like that. You shouldn't have to wait, you know, to go pick it up. This is a good argument as to why brick and mortar needs to exist.
Yep.
So that you can go and pick it up yourself and not have to worry about it getting shipped. Now, listen, do we all love Amazon Prime and their 2-day shipping or same day shipping? Heck yes. Did I order something from Amazon for my TGS trip that arrived today very conveniently? Of course I did. Listen, I had to buy 2 raincoats. It's supposed to rain the whole time I'm there, so I have to pick between which one. Anyway, it's unacceptable that they're having things that are specifically time-based releases, and they are the largest shipper in the world, and they can't get it sorted out. It sucks. That's like the short answer. I guess the only thing we can really do is say, hey, no more Amazon. They took away the Prime discount anyway.
Like most of the establishments in life that we depend on, the moment we all stop giving it money, giving it attention, or depending on it, it changes.
What does Greg like to say? Vote with your wallet. So I guess buy your game somewhere else. Thumbs up. All right, that is going to do it for reader mail. We are going to squad up. And Malik wrote in on PlayStation 4 about Destiny 2. Yes, we got lots of Destiny squad ups this week. His PSN ID is spelled Assassin Malik, but he says here in parentheses, unfortunately, it's spelled wrong. I'm still waiting on Sony to let me change my damn name. So it's spelled assassin, but just one S on the end. So A-S-S-A-S-I-N.
So as assin.
As in.
As in.
As in. Yes. Dash Malik, M-A-L-I-K, again, A-S-S-A-S-I-N, dash M-A-L-I-K. I picked up Destiny 2 last week on the PlayStation 4 and have quickly surpassed my friends to light level 350. I need a group of dedicated players looking to have fun beating up baddies, but also dominate in the Crucible and run raids and strikes on high difficulty levels. I play as a hunter and just want some friends to chat with while we save the world or whatever Bungie says the story is. Stay busy, Andrea, and leave that poor chicken alone. Trust me, I ain't touching that chicken, yeah, all right?
Yeah, gotta leave that chicken alone.
That chicken needs its independence.
Why the chicken joke?
I don't know. Greg can't even explain it at this point anymore.
What is that? Also, cool Greg. Why do we lock this? Why do we lock this thing? Who's going to come in here? Who's going to come in?
I think the iPad he's wrong. Talking about, cool Greg. It's okay.
Okay. So don't we leave it plugged in?
But you can make the screen go to sleep without having a lock code.
Okay, that's good, because unfortunately the lock code is still not written on the board, and I still haven't memorized it.
You know what?
Do you know it? Do you know it, Andrew?
I don't know the lock code, but I can pull up your wrong for us.
All right. Oh, Andrew's pulling up your wrong. We good.
Yeah. So, all right. So you're...
Sorry, cool Greg. Don't worry about it. I just like to complain.
It's back on the board.
Oh, is it back on the board?
Yeah, it's bottom of the square.
Oh, I can't see it from here.
I'll move it.
Oh, yeah, it's behind the...
I apologize, cool Greg. Thank you for leaving it on the board. Here. Now, Matt, see this... Cool Greg... I apologize for besmirching your good name.
Ooh, your drawl was coming out there.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting ready to go get ready to get to be at home maybe sometime soon. So
wouldn't that be nice to be home?
Being home.
Oh, so good. And okay, let's see here. Starting with, these are a lot from yesterday that I didn't read.
No, that's all right. What we got here?
Okay, first one. Is from Kebabs. Outside of dedicated channels such as Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, Saturday morning cartoons on major networks have been on the decline since the 90s after their peak in the 80s. In my childhood of the late 80s and early 2000s, or late 90s and early 2000s, they were definitely still a thing here in New Zealand, but I haven't gotten up early on a Saturday for the best part of a decade, so I have no idea what it's like now.
Wow.
That's true, Kebabs. Thank you for that expanded explanation.
Thanks for that New Zealand truth.
Stead John At says Pokemon Go stops. You would hope they wouldn't allow them in some random person's house and garden. Well, I mean, this isn't a you're wrong. Well, let's see here. Oh, Kawaii Owl Parade says Hickory, North Carolina actually has a decent Pokemon Go community with a Discord group.
No kidding. Really? Well, that's fascinating and exciting. I wonder if there are Pokemon stops at the Catawba Science Center, perhaps the Salt Block, the Patrick Beaver Memorial Library. Oh, the Hickory Motor Speedway.
Very nice. You know your landmarks like I know the ones in North Dakota.
Well, I mean, you grew up someplace. You got the Walmart parking lot where everybody goes at school on Friday night. You got to be there, hang out. That's very important. Yeah.
I loved going to Walmart in the middle of the night and taking Polaroids with my friends and all of we would dress up in outfits and then the staff would really be mad at us. But, you know, when you're bored in North Dakota and you're, 15, what are you going
to
do?
You can only go to Cosmic Bowl so many times.
And it costs money.
Yeah, it does.
Don't have much money. Sorry.
And no, I was thinking there's always like casual sex, but that just leads to disease, teen pregnancy and other difficulties. So.
Yeah. And you have to talk to someone usually to have sex.
Yeah. There's that too.
Yeah. Luke Carr Wolf says AC Liberation has never been on PS4 before. Andrea was thinking of Assassin's Creed Liberation HD for PS3, Xbox 360, and PC. I was. Thank you for the correction. This is the first time on current gen systems, though Liberation HD is backwards compatible on Xbox One. And then we have another AC Liberation thing. Oh, Tagless 02 says clarification for the Pokestops nominations. It might be similar to Ingress Portal submissions, which some major rules are no elementary or middle schools can be nominated, no residential submissions. It needs to be able to be accessed on foot and a safe area, so no roundabout statue. Wait, what?
Roundabout statue, you got a statue in the middle of a roundabout.
Except that's where the gym is in my neighborhood.
What?
It's in a roundabout. There's a tree in the middle of the roundabout.
The system has failed us.
I guess it has.
Also, roundabouts. I've mentioned before on the show that I'm terrified of bike racks, unironically frightened of bike racks. But I'm even more frightened of roundabouts. Roundabouts. My brain can't comprehend the traffic
it
rules
can.
Of a roundabout.
I believe in you, Jared.
I've been trying for years.
You got this. You just enter it and then you put your blinker on like you're turning.
But where and how and when? I used to do.
You
I used
enter
to
it like
drive
you would like you would enter
country.
An intersection at a stop sign.
I would navigate around roundabouts so I wouldn't have to turn in them because they suck and I hate them.
Well, luckily for you, there are very few roundabouts. In the United States.
There are more, though. People keep adding them. Someone has convinced
people
it's a
good idea.
Because
they are a very efficient way of directing the flow of traffic.
They're a very efficient way of me not knowing what to do and crying.
Okay, we've got six people writing in about liberations. Thank you so much, everybody, for doing that. Kebabs writes, and in case you're interested, the Assassin's Creed with the most additions is 2011's Assassin's Creed Revelations, the third and final game in the Ezio trilogy, featuring Altair for the first time. With 9, oh my gosh, they had 9 different editions. Not counting the normal version, there are a special edition, signature edition, collector's edition, Templar edition, Animus edition, the ultimate edition in the US, the ultimate bundle in Canada, the Ottoman edition, and the PS exclusive gold edition.
That was some Micro Machine Man stuff right there. I bravo.
Thank you.
Bravo. Ladies and gentlemen, proof of the apocalypse right there. That many editions is our undoing.
Eric K says, hey guys, Jared, Andrea is right. Greg said grop instead of pop once on Beyond, and it has stuck around ever since. Andrea, just wanted to let you know your commitment to the bits is top notch and much appreciated. Aw, thanks.
You know, I don't
Jared, you're rad
grop.
Too.
I don't grop. I'll be. Worked here a long time. I didn't know about grop.
Yeah.
Thanks.
No problem. Lord Pwn says Diablo 3 on Switch supports Nintendo Switch cloud saves and will make use of the Nintendo Online service. We missed an upcoming date from Ateru 73. A Time Spinner is coming to PS4 and Vita on September 25th. Also to Windows, Mac, and Linux for the nerds.
Hey.
We did mention Deal of the Days, Ear Gamer, but I'll read this as well. I haven't heard any mentions of blah, blah, blah. It's the PlayStation Store Pick Sale. It's now a great time to enjoy the greatest PSVR game, Super Hot VR. It's now 30% off.
Oh, there you go.
We also missed from Zaire, JJ Macefield and the Island of Memories is coming to Switch on October 11th.
That's not real. That game isn't real. He just made that up.
Okay. Kebab says we missed some minor news. I didn't bring this up because the update didn't really have much in it. The PlayStation 4 now has the firmware 6.0 update. Unlike most round number updates, this one does not add a suite of new features, but it does allow you to search the PSN store using on-screen keyboard rather than that terrible column style they used to make us use. I don't want to give PlayStation credit for this because how dare you wait so long to change your atrocious search system in the store? I can't even give you credit because you should have fixed this forever ago. Okay.
Yeah, that one's always been a little irritating.
Ear Gamer, again, the biggest size of the Switch game that exists to my knowledge is L.A. Noire, which is 27.4 gigs, forcing you to have an SD card to play the game because it does not fit in the standard memory of the console.
There we go.
Lord of Pwn, Nier Automata. I can speak. Is another good example of a post-credits gameplay. That is a good example.
Nier Automata, far automata, wherever.
Nathan C says, "Sorry, Andrew and Jared. I know this might be in the wrong place, but I need to know if I'm wrong about something. I just got home and found Shadow of the Tomb Raider had been delivered today rather than tomorrow. Is that supposed to happen, or did Amazon accidentally deliver it on the wrong day? Oh, well, you got lucky, and this other guy got so screwed." So here's the thing: several retailers pushed the orders of Tomb Raider Live early. But technically, you should have gotten it early if you ordered the Croft Edition, which gave 48 hours of early access to Shadow of the Tomb Raider. But GameStop stores were selling other retail editions early. You just couldn't access the game digitally ahead of launch. But you could go in and physically pick up your disc and start playing it. Kind of weird. Not sure why that happened that way, but it's water under the bridge now. Now it's launch day. Well, technically not until tomorrow. My bad. Don't write into you're wrong. I know I was wrong. All right. I think Lord of Pwn, that PS4 update didn't fix the search system that came a couple weeks ago. Oh, so then it was double not worth talking about.
There we
about.
Go. There That's, we are.
That is it for today's show. Again, please check us out at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Hit that subscribe button. It helps us out a lot. We would also love it if you can't contribute financially to the show. That's no problem at all. But maybe you could contribute a review on your favorite podcast service. That helps us out a lot more than you guys know. We would really appreciate you taking the time to say some positive things about the show. If you don't have anything nice to say, you can probably just keep that to yourself. Jared, it's been lovely hosting with you again.
It's been a lot of fun.
And as a reminder, if you guys are watching live at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you might want to just keep the window open. Jared's going to be back in a little bit doing a live watch along of that Nintendo Direct, and then he will be back tomorrow with special guest Damon Hatfield.
Indeed, yes. Kind of Funny Games Daily. Damon Hatfield. Field's premiere coming over from IGN to visit. We're going to talk about the news of the day. Everything went here. Probably going to have a lot to follow up with on that Nintendo Direct. So, woohoo.
Absolutely. Well, have a great afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Jared, it's been our pleasure to serve.